Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. With me from On Sports Illustrated, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you?
Not too bad. Kind of a strange weekend of college football. We also have your Indianapolis Colts are rolling. I'm sure you appreciate at least mention. Oh, look at that. He's got the Colts t-shirt on. That's kind of like a retro old school kind of logo going on there. I like it. Just a quick note, our show is brought to you by our longtime sponsor, GoPSURV. 15 years of providing RV tailgating to Happy Valley. Well, guess what? Rebranding, new name, Blue White RV. Same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, just show up and let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgating games, fire pits, food, and a pavilion showing all the college football games all weekend, plus transportation and even assistance in obtaining game tickets. We were Go PSURV. Now we are Blue White RV. Looking for some more information or an RV in one of the remaining home games? Just call 800-519-8467. And our buddy Dustin Schutte, that's where he's going to be staying when he comes in to see Penn State for the first time in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure. It should be a good experience.
Coming in for the Nebraska game, you'll have a great time. It's a tough season for the Nittany Lions, but you'll still have a good time. I mentioned your Indianapolis Colts having a big game over the weekend. Dustin, I was away over the weekend. Do you know I didn't get to see, hardly any college football, but I was at a wedding. See, you're an engaged guy, so I'm hoping you have the good sense not to schedule your wedding on a fall weekend.
Yes, it's in May, so we're in good shape.
Smart man. My nephew, who, by the way, is a big sports fan, college football fan, it got scheduled, and I gave him a hard time about it. He then calls me up and brags because he scheduled it during a bye week for Penn State, which, by the way, I don't think was his design. I think it was dumb luck, Dustin.
Sure. Yeah, that happens more times than not, that I think it just is happenstance, like the sports gods look down upon those who are fans of certain teams, and it just works out that way.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but I make fun, but it was a very good time. And I tell you what really helped, Dustin. So it was a nice setup. They sat us at tables. You're with some of the, close to you, your own family, but also sitting amongst the other side of the family who we knew none of them, but the bride's family, I come to find out they're college football degenerates just like I am. So it was fantastic. We spent the evening talking about point spreads, that hated half point, when you get that 3.5-point spread. Well, it's universal, the hatred for it.
Really? I love the hook. I love the hook. I don't want the idea of a, I want it to either go below or above. I don't like the idea of a push.
Well, that's, the half point is great, but that, it's like, boy, 3.5 points though, man, or the 7.5 points. So I met one of her cousins, Eric. We chatted quite a while with the uncles. They're guys who make college football trips. They talked about they're from Maine, and they've made a trip to Alabama just to watch a college football game there.
Oh, wow.
So they're hardcore. Want to give a shout out to those guys. They made the evening a lot of fun for me. We had some great conversations. All right, Dustin, how about we hit some of the actual games that took place this weekend? A few teams were on bye weeks, Penn State and Ohio State in the Big Ten. but a couple interesting games going on. I thought some teams made a few statements. Start with those Indiana Hoosiers. Absolutely blew out UCLA.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had expected UCLA to be, I don't want to say turn the corner, but better than what they were because they had won three straight. Obviously, Penn State knows about that. They had looked like they were a much better team, but they're still obviously no match for the top tier of the Big Ten. And if you get Kurt Cignetti rolling, like he doesn't let up. So they, I think they had their starters into the fourth quarter when the game had already been decided. So, I think that game was like 42-3 early in the third quarter. So it was over. UCLA had no chance, no hope, just another dominant performance. And you're getting to the point now where I think I've already made this argument. I think you could put Indiana as the number one team in the country based on their resume and based on how impressive the wins have been.
You could make that argument if you would take the team name off and just right. Put the resumes out there. And Kurt Cignetti, we recognize that here at Penn State, that running the score up. James Franklin liked to right. Do it also. So I'm not going to be critical of it. I think also Indiana is still overcoming the stigma of being Indiana.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And, just as another game, like Oregon was only won 21-7 over Wisconsin. If you switch names there and had Indiana have that kind of win, I'm sure there'd be people to say, maybe Indiana isn't that good. I almost feel like Indiana every week needs to prove themselves.
I think that's a fair statement because I think there's a lot of people who like, look, Indiana came into the season, 19th, I think, in the preseason poll. So a lot of people thought they would take a step back. I was one of them, and they've just continued to dominate. And it's another one of those things where if you do lose a game at some point down the road, which, by the way, they're not going to – sorry, Penn State people. Indiana's not going to lose a game this season. But if they were to slip up, I think that also gives them a wider margin of error. So in certain circumstances now, because the Big Ten is so big, I don't know what the actual tiebreakers are. I have to go back and look. But I think, like, point differential among common opponents is one of those. So it's hard to make, like, you kind of get rewarded for that, right? For like game control. And so I think that you can make the argument that he's just doing everything in his power to make sure that if they do lose a game and there's some sort of tiebreaker there, that Indiana gets the edge in some of these distant tiebreaker situations.
Well, again, that, when you balance that against the risk of injury or balance it against getting some experience for your backup players, I think that is something that is more likely to bite you than that, third or fourth tiebreaker, which is based on point margin. I'm still not going to be critical of Cignetti for running up the score in these games. I mean, hey, everybody does it. And as I said, I think if you're Alabama or Ohio State, you don't have to do that. But if you're in Indiana, not that you have to, but it's not a bad thing. I think teams were the public, the voters in the rankings will look at that score and say, hey, 56-6, they dominated the game.
Can I throw one caveat to what you're saying here? Because I don't disagree with you. I think the difference is that when Penn State ran up the score, James Franklin tended to just call plays as if the game was 0-0. But he would bring in his backups, second and third string. The famous quote, like, my guys deserve to play football. I think Cignetti's just leaving his starters in and continuing to play football, which I think is a little bit different. But to your point, I don't have too much of an issue. But I think there is a distinction there between letting your backup guys who never get to play the opportunity to, instead of just handing the ball off three times. I think there is a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, more specifically, I'm looking at the quarterback situation.
Sure.
God forbid you lose your starting quarterback. I'd like to have a guy who has at least taken a few snaps.
Yeah, right.
And you know, Penn State got burned by that a few years ago when they were at Iowa. They were up a couple touchdowns. Sean Clifford gets hurt. They put in a guy who hasn't seen, you know, the field. And all of a sudden, his first experience is at Kinnick Stadium going crazy. And I think he fumbled like the first couple snaps. It was not pretty. A couple other games. I want to point out, I was impressed. Washington beating Illinois. I'm not sure Washington is getting the respect that they deserve, Dustin.
No, I tweeted this out, and I think this applies. Here comes the dog about to lap up water, everybody.
Our listeners will survive it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's Washington, and I think we'll probably talk about this game a little bit later, but Iowa, I think if those two teams had SEC patches on their jersey, they'd both be in the top 25, no questions asked. Washington has – they just beat Illinois. Their two losses have come – to Ohio State and to Michigan. Like, they didn't look good in those two particular games, but they have been really good the rest of the way. So I think, yeah, they've got a really good quarterback. Jed Fish is a guy that we've talked about, I think, is a candidate for the Penn State job, whether he's realistic or not. I just think he's a really good football coach. And to control that game the way they did against Illinois, and look at the remaining schedule, Jim, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA. If they were to beat Oregon at the end of the season, I don't know if they get into the playoff, but they're going to have at least a shot. And so I agree with you. I don't think they're getting enough respect. If you two rank, their two losses are to two ranked teams. If they are in the SEC, they're probably in the top 20, no question.
Well, Dustin, I'm going to take it this way. If they would, you know, win out or and then go into the Oregon game, looking for a 10th win, how do you not put them in the playoffs if they're 10-2 with a win over Oregon?
Right. I think that the only argument that the committee is going to have is, well, they got blown out in both of those games, 24-6 to Michigan, 24-6 to Ohio State, 24-7 to Michigan. But I think I did not see the Michigan game, but if you watch the Ohio State game, they were really competitive for a majority of that game.
And again, if you're keeping those kind of teams in the 20s, it doesn't feel – it's not like Indiana, 56-6 with their win here, right. Dustin. So it's quite different feel to it. All right, that's it for quarter one. We'll keep up the conversation when we come back after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. At least I got our names right as I'm stumbling here to get ourselves going in quarter number two, Dustin. When we wrapped up, we're talking about some of these teams, and you point out, you know, the difference between the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten, and just wearing that Southeast Conference logo means something. But I think last year we kind of saw the precedent, and as much as the Southeast Conference was crying for their 9-3 teams to make it into the playoffs, I think the goal for teams has to be, if you're in the Big Ten, you're in the Southeast Conference, 10-2 should be your goal to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think because even, I mean, it kind of depends on how the schedule works out, right? Like last year, if Indiana goes 10-2, they're not in. They just didn't have the strength of schedule. But ultimately, as a whole, I agree with your point. Usually you're going to have enough meat on that schedule where if you go 10-2, you're at least going to put yourself in position. Not saying you're going to make it every year, but you're going to give yourself a chance. You're at least going to be in the argument. And again, I think that's the case this year. This is going to be the case for Michigan, right? If they were to beat, they don't have a relatively tough schedule the rest of the way, but if they were to beat Ohio State at the end of the season, 10-2, they have a great argument to be in. Washington, if they finish out 10-2 with a win over Oregon, they have a legitimate case to be in. So I think if you can get 10 wins and let the chaos fall around you, you feel pretty good about at least putting yourself in position where the committee has to think about you. And that's I think most years in one of those two conferences, it's probably going to get you in, but you're probably also going to have a few things fall your way as well.
You do. And it's going to be, and we're very premature in this discussion about the playoffs, but there's going to be holy hell to pay if you start getting 9-3 Southeast Conference teams in ahead of a 10-2 Big Ten team.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Petitti doesn't back down to Greg Sankey as much as he tries to bully him around. And we can complain about all these television contracts and streaming services, but I think Tony Petitti has done a really good job as to not just cave. Like Kevin Warren would have caved and only gotten the Big Ten one guaranteed bid at this point. Like, he was not a good commissioner. So I think the one thing the Big Ten has going for it is it's got a really strong commissioner who doesn't back down to a guy like Greg Sankey, who just tries to bully his way through college football. But yeah, I think, again, I do think it depends on the schedule, because last year it was to their own fault because they decided they didn't want to schedule anybody but three cupcakes in non-conference play. But if Indiana was 10-2 a season ago, they're not in. So a little bit of it depends on the schedule. But if you looked at like Wisconsin's schedule this year, if they went 10-2, there's no chance you'd keep them out. That's a team that has they played Alabama, they played Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, Oregon, Washington, Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois. Go 10-2 and you're in no problem because of that schedule. Of course, Wisconsin's 2-10.
I was going to say, it's interesting when by the end of the year, that coach isn't going to have a job. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You alluded to the other game within the Big Ten. I want to mention Iowa. You said 41-3 over Minnesota. Iowa scoring 41 points in one game. That typically takes them a month, Dustin.
I can't respond to that, Jim, because it's so good. They scored 41 in their two biggest rivalry games, or they scored 37 against Wisconsin, 41 against Minnesota. And let me see if I still have this stat correct. Oh, nope, it wasn't. So, but Mark Gronowski, Iowa's quarterback, that was his first touchdown pass he's thrown. He had one since September 13th. No touchdown passes. He's had he's up to 8 or 9 rushing touchdowns in that span. But like, again, an Iowa team that lost to Iowa State early in the season, and their only other loss is a 5-point loss to Indiana, a game which they should have won, by the way. Shame on you, Iowa. But they, again, no doubt they would be ranked if they were in the SEC. And by the way, this is why everybody who makes the argument like, oh, preseason rankings don't matter. Well, yeah, they do. Iowa wasn't. Let me double check. No, Iowa was not ranked to start the season. So they've having to climb up this step. And then you look at all the 9 SEC teams that were ranked. And that's why you got a bunch of 2-loss SEC teams that are ranked over a bunch of 2-loss Big Ten teams. So the preseason rankings do matter.
It is going to be fascinating to see once we get to the committee putting out their rankings. And see, I have no doubt in my mind that this, the ESPN factor, the Greg Sankey factor, you know, the way they have been lobbying like all season long, SEC teams will get the benefit of the doubt. It's just a question of how much. One other game I want to make note of, because you while I was busy with the wedding, you sent me a text message as Nebraska was struggling with Northwestern, and you said, "Oh my, if Penn State were to hire Matt Rhule."
And not.
Yeah. And they pulled it out, though. What the fascinating thing to me with this one, with your comment, Dustin, is that these coaches now, game by game, are coaching for their next job. Nebraska lost last week, I forget who to, and was it Minnesota they lost to?
Minnesota, yep.
And it's like, oh, you know, that's a check mark against Matt Rhule on his resume. The guy's been coaching at the college football level for how many years? And he may lose his dream job in 1 week. And, you know, so that's going on. So when you see, you know, I started to hear PJ Fleck's name being mentioned, not specifically Penn State, but just in general with all these job openings that probably would be better jobs than Minnesota. He can't go out there and lose 41-3 to Iowa if he's looking to upgrade his job.
No, that's the thing that makes me think that PJ is never going to get another job. He's perfectly fine at Minnesota. He's done some really good things there. They've been very consistent, but they have, it is, I mean, on a smaller scale level of James Franklin, where they go out and can I say this? They suck in at least two games every year. Like, you just turn on the TV. This is why I tell people, like, even if you're the worst gambling degenerate, never bet on the Minnesota Golden Gophers, because you don't know what team's going to show up. That's a team that could beat Oregon at home. And then the next week they'll turn around and lose to UCLA by 3 touchdowns. You just don't know what team you're going to get. And I think you can't do that at some of those other openings. So he is not going to be a good fit at any other school. And to the same degree, to my, like, here's the thing as to why I think I'm opposed to Matt Rhule at Penn State is, I don't, maybe not opposed. I mean, you're going to have to go through a rebuild, and are Penn State fans going to be patient for 3 years? Like, that's his formula. No.
Well, and I want to hit this as a topic in the next segment is, where do these teams go when there's so many high-level schools now? You know, you've got an opening in Florida, at Penn State, at LSU, at Arkansas. You very well could have openings at Auburn, Wisconsin, Florida State. Mm-hmm. This is a great season to have be a college football coach and have a good season and your resume out there. You know, it's like the baseball free agent who has his absolute best season on his walk year. This is the time to look good, and you don't even have to change jobs. Just like Kurt Cignetti. Well, there's a lot of good jobs out there. Boom. Crazy extension, which, you know, as great as Kurt Cignetti has been these first two seasons, or season and a half, Dustin, it's only been a season and a half. And you're committing what, the next decade to them?
Right. Well, I think Indiana can do that because he's had more wins in 2 years, Jim, than they've had in a decade. So I can understand it from that point.
Indiana had to do that. They had to do that if they were going to be serious.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And we were kind of joking about this the other night, my fiance and I. We were like, and this is actually not his fault, but I feel like Kurt Cignetti has ruined, we felt like Kurt Cignetti has ruined college football. And something to it, not, but now, Jim, everybody wants that level of success and they want it now. Like, I understand why some of these places have made these changes, but to me, when you just rattled off the list of coaches that have been fired and the jobs that are open, who do they think is going to fill these roles? Like, there's going to be, if you have a list of, what is it, 8 schools? I don't know the total number. 6 of those at least are probably going to be stinkers. Oh, like, you're not going to last 4 than 5 years.
Yes. Just in, you know, I said we're going to start the next segment with it. Let's start it now. Okay. You're looking at very good jobs that are open. And let's start with that. It's obvious Florida is a good job. Penn State is a good job. LSU is a good, maybe great job. Okay. And, well, real quick, rank those three jobs.
Oof. Well, if you work at LSU, you can somehow get away with robbing a children's hospital charity fund. So I think in terms of your backing and your support, maybe I think LSU, Penn State, what was the other one?
Florida.
Yeah, I think Florida's third on that list. I think LSU's probably number one, and then Penn State would be number two.
I think if you want to win national championships and you're looking for the financial support, combine that with the recruiting territory in Louisiana, and you're the university in Louisiana. Who else? There's no other in-state school that you're competing with. So, you know, that's a tremendous opportunity there. I think what Florida has going for them is they're located in the state of Florida, which, you know, if you're a recruiter now, they have, they're dysfunctional in other ways. And I think that's what you have to overcome. Penn State, I think, has the roughest time recruiting, but there seems to be the commitment, and that there, and they need to get the home run higher. Dustin, I'm going to ask you to define what a home run hire is when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Schutte. And we lost the third member of our team, Dustin's puppy.
Biscuit, the lapping water dog.
He has moved in. Some might say he's the best contributor to our show.
Yeah, that's true.
It's probably at least arguable. Anyway, let's keep going. We're talking about all these openings in college football, Dustin, and there's some great jobs. I mean, to imagine LSU, Florida, and Penn State jobs all open, and it's a very real possibility that you could add Auburn, Wisconsin, and Florida State to that group. That's an incredible – the demand is going to outreach the supply. Yep. And each of these teams, now we were talking about the LSU job might be the most attractive. Where I do think Penn State has an advantage over the other two, and this is after both you and I said, hey, the Southeast Conference gets overrated, overpublicized, gets the benefit of the doubt. I will say, though, it's a deeper conference. We talked about if you're Florida, you know, as much as you say Florida's a great job, they have national championships in their recent history. They are what, the seventh or eighth best job in the Southeast Conference? That's a lot of teams you got to climb over.
Yeah, I mean, you think about like Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Texas now. I don't know that I'd put Oklahoma in that category, but yeah. But I mean,
Georgia,
Georgia,
Tennessee.
yep. Those are good points. I think for, yeah, Florida's got a lot of hurdles to climb. I think, as you mentioned, the asset is that you're in the state of Florida, so you don't have to go very far to recruit. And if you can recruit that state well, you really don't have to go outside. And so there are some benefits there. It's but it's the their athletic department has kind of been a mess. And so you're dealing with that situation as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't, I, there's look, the ones we've mentioned, there's really not a bad job among those three. It's just LSU is probably the best in terms of everything that you mentioned.
And Dustin, each one of these schools, and I was talking about Penn State, they have a situation where I don't know if the athletic director Pat Kraft put himself into a corner, or if this it's just plain this is athletic director talk when you say we're a great job, we expect to win national championships, we could shop in the big boy aisle, okay? We're that attractive a job. But has he cornered himself into having to hire what is quote unquote a home run hire? And the other day I did a show and I sectioned off the different coaches' names that have been mentioned so much here at Penn State. And you could take these same names and fill in LSU, Florida, and some of them that aren't even open yet. But there were the legends division, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, trying to get them back. There's the guys who have really big boy jobs already as head coaches. Would they ever consider moving on? Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, Kalen DeBoer, Lane Kiffin. For Penn State, the ones who have a connection to Penn State, Matt Rhule, Manny Diaz, Joe Brady, who's currently the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, but had been on the Penn State staff years ago as a grad assistant. Then you have the guys who are, the coaches who, like we mentioned, Jed Fish, Washington, Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State, Alex Golish from South Florida. These guys who are making a name for themselves, what is Clark Lee from Vanderbilt? So, is it, if you're looking for the home run hire, Dustin, which aisle are you shopping in?
Oh boy, Jim, that's a tough question.
But that's why I turn to you for the answers, Dustin.
These wisdomous answers. Here's an interesting thing because I think we may disagree on this. I don't think Penn State's going to get him, but I think that Kurt Cignetti is still the guy that like could turn a program around instantly. I still believe he could do that. And I know you have some concerns about hitting two for two on the quarterback out of the transfer portal. Could he do that consistently and have Penn State in that conversation every single year? The interesting one to me was like three of the top head coaches in college football right now were hired away when they were coordinators, and that's Dan Lanning at Oregon, who was a Georgia coordinator. It was Kirby Smart, who was D coordinator at Alabama under Nick Saban, and Ryan Day, who was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State under Urban Meyer. So, do you potentially look for a coordinator? I actually, the one that's there's two that are growing. I would be shopping down Manny Diaz, Jed Fish aisle. I don't know that the fish aisle. I'd be shopping down that aisle because I think you want, I don't think you want to hire a group of five coach. Sometimes it works out, but sometimes those jobs seem to be overwhelming. And I know Cincinnati's in the Big 12 now, but look at Luke Fickell. Look at Scott Frost. There are plenty of other, like, look at, I was going to say Joe Moorhead, but he went straight from Penn State OC to Mississippi State head coach. But you know what I mean? There's enough
Yes.
of those where you have just kind of disasters where I think that they need to take that gradual step where it's, okay, we're going from Northern Illinois to then we're going to coach Illinois. Then maybe if we prove we're good at Illinois, maybe then we're ready for the big boy jobs. So I would like Manny Diaz has connections to Penn State. He's been the head coach at Miami. He's the head coach now at Duke. Jed Fish has been the head coach at Arizona. He has knowledge of the Big Ten. He was on Jim Harbaugh's, I believe it was Jim Harbaugh's staff early on. And now he's the head coach at Washington. Like those guys, if you can't get, obviously if you can't get Kurt Cignetti, I don't even know who else is in that category with him, but if you can't get him, then I think you're looking at one of those type of coaches.
Do you know, the couple things, first of all, the Kurt Cignetti option, he probably would have been the best hire. Credit to Indiana for going out and paying him the money. Now, I know you've pointed this out before. His buyout is still small enough that if he wants to go, he can go. I credit that to a good agent and poor negotiating on the side of the university, which, by the way, was the same thing at Penn State. James Franklin, had he been successful these last couple of years, he would have been the one, and there's even talk that he was trying to leverage before this season another new contract, okay? And
of course.
But you know, the standard pay scale keeps changing for college football. So if I'm Kurt Cignetti, and so what's he making now per year? What's the new contract worth? About $11 million per year, I believe, 11, yeah. $12
million? Yeah, because it ends up being like $93 million on the whole. I think it's around
over 8 years, so that's over $11 million per. So he's kind of setting a new standard. What if 3 years from now, Indiana is still playing well, but the new standard is $15 million or $18 million? And one of these jobs opens up. USC opens up. Kurt Cignetti's agent will come knocking on their door, you know, hey, for $1 million, we can leave. That USC opening is there. They're going to pay my guy $18 million per year. You're only paying $11. So I think that's a, they're hedging their bets for the future, Dustin. I don't think they're doing it for right now.
No, I don't think so either. The interesting thing too, Jim, is that in that contract language, now I'm not smart enough to figure out what all this means, but it is interesting of note where I think if he makes it to the playoff or maybe a certain round of the playoff, then Indiana has to give him quote unquote a appropriate raise or something like that. Or if somebody else comes knocking, he doesn't have to pay the buyout. So what defines a reasonable – I don't know what that means. Can the agent say, nope, not reasonable, no matter what it is, and then say – because here's the thing, Jim. I don't know that Penn State would go all in and spend every cent they have to get Kurt Cignetti, but you know what school would do that?
LSU?
The one that robs from children's funds at hospitals. to win football national championships. So that's something to keep an eye on. You're right. I think they're hedging their bets for later down the road. Maybe he does want to be at IU and wants to build that thing and win for the next 8 or 10 years. But does he think he can do it better at LSU in the SEC?
I think if he's smart, he stays where he is, because this is the thing, the past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. Everything fell right for him these 2 years. And please, I'm not calling the guy lucky. I am not.
Right.
Okay. But I often use the Dabo Sweeney example. Mm-hmm. His teams aren't doing today what they did, 5-8 years ago. Now, he had two NFL quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Now, credit to him for recruiting those guys, identifying that talent. But that doesn't mean you will, just because you hit a home run last year, doesn't mean you're not going to pop up this year.
Right.
Kurt Cignetti, more than anything else, he really hit on his quarterbacks. He did a lot of other great things, but he hit on those quarterbacks. there's no guarantee that no matter where he goes, he will do the same thing. And going to LSU, there will be pressure that he's never even dreamed of while coaching at Indiana. I think there's a big difference between those jobs. Could he use it for leverage, though? You better believe it, Dustin.
Yeah, he could. And I think, Jim, I think you're underestimating how smug and cocky Kurt Cignetti is. I think he would thrive on that pressure. I think he would feed it. Like, he fits an SEC. In a way, he actually fits IU. And I know people that are not from Indiana probably don't understand that. But his attitude 1,000% fits their school and their fan base. He would also fit LSU. I don't think he's intimidated by the pressure at all.
Well, would you start out by saying, hey, just check my record. And then you follow it up by winning, you get a lot of fans. All right, that's it for quarter three. We're going to keep up this coaching conversation when we return.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. I mean, this coaching conversation is so fascinating. We can't even stop between segments, Dustin. And you made the point in the break, Kurt Cignetti is so confident, some might say arrogant, when you actually win, it's not arrogance, it's confidence, that he might say, heck, I want to go to the Southeast Conference. Bring it on, guys. Give me the resources of LSU, I'm going to do just fine.
Yeah, he would not run, whether or not he takes the job, I don't know. I'm not going to throw that out there, but I'm going to say that the pressure would not faze him one bit. He believes he can win anywhere. And so far he's proven that. Like, if you can win at Indiana, you probably can win just about anywhere, right? At the level he's won at Indiana. It's not like he's 7-5, 8-4. He's winning at a high, high level. So the one question that I have is, like, again, I think he would feel confident and comfortable going to a place like LSU. But I'm with you, Jim. Why would you do it? You don't have to do anything the rest of your career. And you could mail it in, and you're going to get a statue built of you.
Yes. To me, that's the mistake a lot of these coaches make. But what gets them that position is that arrogance, that confidence that they could go win anywhere. The problem I have, and I understand the baggage that Urban Meyer brings. I do. But, and maybe this is me falling for someone who's on TV, is if you ever watch Urban Meyer diagram plays and show you stuff about the actual game, X's and O's, he is such a phenomenal communicator of what he's trying to accomplish. I can see why he was a very successful coach. Please do not interpret that as me saying I want Urban Meyer as the next Penn State coach. But I get it. I understand. But I've often said, Dustin, I don't want Urban Meyer. I want the next Urban Meyer. I don't want Nick Saban. I want the next Nick Saban. And here's how I support that. You know, who's the greatest winner, greatest coach of all time in the NFL?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So what happened after Tom Brady left New England? Didn't go so well. Well, certainly he could come into college football and just dominate, right? How's that working out, Dustin?
It's not going well.
No, it is not going well. And the other example I'm going to use, before Nick Saban was Nick Saban, he coached at Michigan State.
Right.
Do you know what his record was at Michigan State? Do you know how many times he won more than 7 games in his 5 years there?
I feel like he won. Okay, so he went 7-5 once, and then he had one big year and bolted.
His big year was 9 wins. Yeah. You're right. He also had a 7-win year, and then it was 6-6, 6-5-1, something. You know, it was very, very average.
Yeah.
So I bring that up, and I had thought about that when you were talking about PJ Fleck and his failures or missteps at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You've got to mark these guys on a curve. That's why also I'm not the biggest Matt Rhule fan, but when you look at him, his record against ranked opponents, yeah, but he was doing it at Temple and Baylor. Right. So, you have to look at these things a little bit different. You have to look at context of it also. So those are a couple of my thoughts. I like the aisle of these coaches who have succeeded at a Power Four level. But the question is, can you, if you're Penn State or LSU, pull any of these guys away? Like, you know, Marcus Freeman's name, surprisingly, mm-hmm. is coming up quite a bit. You think he would leave Notre Dame? And what wouldn't it be ironic if he left Notre Dame for LSU?
Marcus Freeman, I don't think Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame for LSU. I think he would leave Notre Dame for Penn State. I think that's a real possibility. Let me say, here's what I'm going to go on with the PJ Fleck, Matt Rhule. And granted, I don't know enough about Matt Rhule's recruiting classes, so this is more of a PJ Fleck. And it allows me to incorporate my Mark D'Antonio reference. If you were to hire PJ Fleck at a big-time program like a Penn State, LSU, Florida, some of those other programs, those programs require you to recruit 4- and 5-star players. There's no way around it. People are going to complain if you don't. Like, that's going to be part of it. PJ Fleck has maybe gotten a handful of 4-star recruits during his time at Minnesota. And not every coach is capable of coaching those type of players. This is why I like Jed Fish and Manny Diaz, by the way. Not every coach is capable of coaching those type of players. Mark D'Antonio built Michigan State into a Big Ten power by coaching 3-stars and maybe a few 4-stars here and there. They did not have great recruiting classes. After they got boat raced by Alabama, they went in and he tried to put all of his chips on the table, recruiting 4- and 5-star guys. And they had one, I don't remember if it was one or two of the best recruiting classes they had ever had. Jim, they won like 9 games one time in the next 4 or 5 years. So that's where I hit the pause button with a name. And again, maybe Matt, I don't know Matt Rhule's recruiting classes well enough, whether it's at Nebraska, Baylor, wherever. Maybe he does have some of that experience. But PJ Fleck is probably the best example where I think if he had 4- or 5-star guys, those guys are not buying into a row the boat culture. Like, it's just not happening.
Well, I think that shtick would not play well at LSU or Penn State.
Really?
Really?
Hard to imagine that. Continue.
So, you know, it's where you – I always say you got to hire the right guy for – Rich Rodriguez was great at West Virginia. He was not at Michigan, I think, is another example. Do you fit the culture? You know, the Clemson culture with Dabo was much different than the Nick Saban culture at Alabama. But it worked for Clemson, worked for him, worked for his teams. So there's also that part of it is what kind of fit. You mentioned Marcus Freeman being a better – I do believe he'd be a wonderful fit at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame and Penn State try to recruit the same players.
Right.
And Notre Dame has success coming into the state of PA and pulling guys out. Manny Diaz, and let me ask you about this. I don't know if this is considered a feature or a bug, to use my old programming parlance. He has a connection to Penn State and a connection to many on the current coaching staff and even some of the players. My understanding, he was well-liked, well-respected when he was the defensive coordinator at Penn State. Would the prospect of him coming in, taking the job and keeping some of the staff, is that a plus or a minus? Is that a feature or not to the athletic director?
I think it's a plus, and here's why. And it's not necessarily that he would keep the staff members, but I think if you do that, that means you're open to assembling the best staff possible. So if you say, hey, I've had this guy who's worked for me for 5 years, this guy's worked at Penn State 7 years, and I know he does a really good job. You know, maybe this guy that he's worked for with Duke, he's worked at for 15 years. Says, sorry, guy, like, I got to go win, and I'm going to hire the guy who's only been there 7 years, but I know can coach the 4- and 5-star running backs that we need to get. This guy can really coach up the offensive line, whatever the case may be. So I don't know if it's, I don't know that it would ever be a negative, because certainly we saw Kurt Cignetti brought his entire staff from JMU. Now there might've been a name or two there, but I think you have to have a commitment to winning, and you have to have a commitment to say, I don't care how long I've been with some of these guys. I want to hire the best guys, because this is not a friendship business. This is a business business. So I think it would be beneficial. I don't know that it's the end all be all if you feel confident in the staff that you've assembled at Duke, but I think it just shows your athletic department and your fan base that, hey, I want to put the best people in, and I don't want just quote unquote my guys here.
Well, I think it's a decision that Pat Kraft has to make. Does he want, you know, the clean sweep? We need to start from scratch. There's enough malfunction here. Or is it, you know what? We have a lot of great pieces in play. By the way, I think the coordinators have to go.
Yeah.
All right. I think they have to go. But the position coaches, these are guys, you know, the tight end coach has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at the end results. You know, Terry Smith, who's now the interim head guy, he's been the cornerback coach for years, well-known, well-liked, a Penn Stater, recruits Western Pennsylvania really well where he's from. So, you know, kind of that mix. There's also, just in general, the aisle of who are the guys in that next level. We've mentioned a couple. You know, I'm with you. I like Jed Fish and what he's done at both Arizona and Washington. What do you, is there somebody else? Alex Golish, the coach at South Florida, the coach at Vanderbilt. Are there guys there that you could say, you know what? Kurt Cignetti came from JMU.
Yeah. Clark Leah, to me, I'm going to give you red flags for both of these guys. Clark Leah, to me, he is the epitome of I hit on one quarterback. Let's see what he does after Diego Pavia leaves, right? Alex Golish is the one I'm afraid of, in the sense of like the Luke Fickell, Scott Frost, the G5 to major program, big jump. And I don't even – this is how bad it's gotten, Jim. I'm pretty sure USF is still a G5 program, but I don't even know what conference they're in. Point being, though, I don't think he would be ready for that type of job. I think that would be a dumb hire for Penn State, and because the first two seasons, what was he, 7-5, 7-5? So he's been 500 at USF, and maybe he could make that kind of leap. But again, I'd rather see him go from USF to, like, then you go out to UCLA or to Stanford, and if you can win there, then maybe he's ready for an LSU or a Penn State. I wouldn't take that risk. And Clark Leah might be fine, but again, he was right. And Vanderbilt's a tough job, and it worked out for Penn State the first time they went to that well. But it really was, so far to me, Clark Leah, it's been one quarterback, and let's see what happens. Let's look at his record before and see what happens after.
All right, Dustin, this is not going to be our last coaching conversation this season. Trust me on that. It'll probably be an every week conversation, but that's going to be our final word for this week. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.